The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 10 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, and it is time for our program this morning. Our guest is on the phone. Her name is Susie Arthur. She is the Human Development Commission Caregiver Manager. We're going to be talking about a senior seminar coming up next week put on by the HDC. I guess the first thing I should ask is, this is something that is open to all seniors? Seem to be having a little...
To bring somebody else with them, they're more than welcome to if you have a family member that you want to bring with you. But it is really geared towards those 60 years of age and older. And we're going to provide a lunch there for them, so any senior that would like to come.
And as I understand it, if they want to take part, they have to take action today to sign up.
Yes, today is the last day to register for the event that we have in Bad Axe. And the reason for that is because we're providing a lunch, so we do need to have a cutoff date so that we can order that food and know how much food that we need to provide.
Don't want to have to rely on the five loaves and five fishes deal.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. That would be really neat if we could, though.
Well, you know, stranger things have happened in this pandemic era.
Yeah, which, especially this year, right?
Yeah. This is going on where now?
This is going to be at the Evangelife Church in Bad Axe. It is June 16th, and the event is actually very different than we've done in the past. We're trying to find ways to still pull people together while social distancing. So this event is going to be a drive-in style event. We're thinking how you used to go to the movies at a drive-in. So you're going to come in, you're going to park in the parking lot at Evangelife Church, and then you're going to tune in your car radio to a specific radio that we, well, not a radio, what am I trying to say?
You're looking for a frequency that you have.
Frequency,
that,
thank you, that's what I'm looking for. So to a frequency, and then you're going to hear everything through your car radio.
And you'll have a small... limited range transmitter there that'll be enough
yes.
to get to the cars.
Yeah.
Okay, and so they don't have to get out of there.
11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Mm-hmm. 11 a.m. till 1, two
mm-hmm.
hours.
And you're going to get a lunch when you come. And it's just going to be a box lunch, something that you can eat right there in your vehicle. You're going to get some giveaways just for registering. So you're going to get a nice bag, really nice tote bag. With a few fun things inside of there and lots of information. And then, of course, at the end, we're going to be doing a larger drawing for our bigger giveaways. And the big giveaway is a lift chair. And then we also have a tablet and a Fitbit, which is like a step counter. And to enter for those, it's just anyone who's registered for the event will get a ticket, and then we'll draw those tickets at the end of the event.
Okay, first of all, with the lunch, do you need to bring your own thing to drink, or are you going to provide something? The last thing you want to be doing is having a dry mouth.
Right. No, you don't have to bring anything to drink if you don't want to. We're going to provide all of that for you. So you're going to have something to drink. You're going to have food. All of that's going to be available. And but, you know, if you want to bring something extra to drink, you know, feel free.
In case you have dietary concerns, you might have dietary concerns and stuff, and you bring your own stuff like that too. But
right, yep. You know, and the meals that we're providing are going to be provided through our nutrition program, which also provides the home-delivered meals for the county. So the food will be a good nutritionally balanced meal. So we don't want people to be concerned that they're going to be getting, you know, something that's really unhealthy. It will be a good sandwich and some fruit and probably some juice. I'm probably going to get in trouble for not knowing exactly what our lunch is, but I just can't remember right now.
But it's good.
It's going to be good, yes. Yes, mm-hmm. I would definitely think that people will be pleased with what they get.
Now, if they want to register, they need to call the CARO office?
Yes, so they're going to call our toll-free number. It's 1-800-843-6394, and that will get them to a person that they can register for the event. And you do need to call today to register for the event in Bad Axe. Now, I do have a couple of other the same type of event going on in Sandusky and also going on in Carroll later this month. But the Bad Axe one, the cutoff is today because it's already next week that we'll be holding the event.
And we'll give that number again at the end of the program here in case people weren't standing there with a pencil handy. They can get one ready and jot her down.
Yeah.
Now, what is going to happen at the program? You have a guest speaker coming?
We do. So part of what we're going to do is try to give some key updates to people on services that are available, what is going on in the community, because a lot has changed over the course of the last, you know, year to 15, 16 months. Just a lot of changes in services and how things are being offered. So we're going to try to update people on that and what is still being provided, how to connect with those different services. But then we do have a speaker coming in, Kristen Meisner, who is going to talk about our elder advocacy program and about elder abuse. So when we think of elder abuse, you know, she's going to be talking about warning signs to look for. If I do suspect that somebody is being abused or in a bad situation, what should I do? Where should I call? What are our next steps? But then also, if you find yourself in a situation like that, where do you reach out or what are your options? So she'll be talking for probably about 45 minutes about all of that and just kind of what that program does to help people who are in that type of a situation.
Now, elder abuse, I think everybody has one thing in mind, but there are different kinds of elder abuse, isn't there? There's the actual physical abuse. I think that's the first thing that comes to mind, but there's mental, psychological abuse where they're not getting the
financial.
Proper... And economic. They can be stealing
yes.
from you. I mean, there's all types of abuse going on that may not fit the standard that you think. First thing
right.
up,
so
but
when
needs
you hear
to be addressed.
Abuse, definitely. I think the main thing that people it comes to mind is, you know, a physical abuse. But really, there can also be self-neglect, where you may have someone who is living alone. Maybe they are no longer cognitively able to make good, sound decisions for themselves anymore. So then you find that they're not bathing or they're not eating well. And it's whether or not they're understanding the consequences of those decisions, right? So self-neglect is one thing, but then definitely financial exploitation or having, unfortunately, you know, family that or friends who are taking advantage of a person financially. So it's a really hard topic, I think, for people to hear about, but it's really important because abuse, especially for our older population, is underreported for a lot of different reasons. And I can't get into all of those details because I'm not the expert on that. And
okay.
But, you know, please come to the event so that you can hear Kristen talk about it and get more information. And so that maybe you can be an advocate for a person who is experiencing that.
And some of this, you spoke of self-abuse. That might be exacerbated by the last year we've gone through, the isolation, not
mm-hmm.
seeing family and friends, not even being able to go to the congregate meal site and just be around people. It can be triggered by the emotional and mental factors.
Yes. So, you know, the senior population as a rule, or even in general, before the pandemic, is already at risk for isolation. Due to maybe not being able to drive or physically not able to get out as often as you once did, your friends or your family are also aging, and so you're losing some of those supports. But then you add on top of it this pandemic where now churches were closing down and the dining centers are closing down, and maybe I was part of an exercise group and now that got closed down, and just a lot of isolation going on. And especially in our rural areas, not everyone has the ability to get online to connect with people through a virtual event. And we had talked about doing a virtual type seminar, but then we really said we really want to try to bring people to a place in person, because we just think people need that right now. They need to be able to see other people and know that, you know, they're not alone. And I think that abuse and neglect and all of those situations, I don't have those numbers, but I would suspect that there probably is more going on when you put people under a lot of stress and strain, add into it, you know, the uncertainties of what's going on in the world.
The fear of the illness was there, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
it affects older people.
Our older population was the highest risk for major complications from COVID. So, yeah, there's just a lot of fear and financial strain on people who, you know, maybe family members who are trying to care for a loved one, and then they find themselves, you know, strapped financially, either due to COVID or other reasons. So I don't think abuse is always a calculated thing that you think you're going to do. It's just sometimes it can be kind of situational.
Well, and sometimes you're in a situation where you're with your spouse, and in the past you both had activities and things you do, and now you're together 24/7 for
right.
over a year, and that can change dynamics and lead to problems.
Absolutely. Yep. So things that when you start pulling those support systems away from people, things that were maybe helping to alleviate some of that strain and some of that stress on relationships, I think, there's a lot of exasperation for maybe some issues that were right under the surface but were maybe being held at bay a little bit. So I really do hope that people will come to the event, not just for, you know, we want you to come and enjoy all of the things, the food and being able to see people and get a good lunch and get some giveaways, but also for the information, because information is a great tool, and it's just so important. And, you know, part of what I do with Human Development Commission, and this is kind of going off topic a little bit, but I'm the caregiver manager, and so part of my job is to help family members who do find themselves in that situation where they're providing care for a family member in the home. And my job is to try to give them that support, that encouragement, and to educate them on, you know, different ways to provide care. I do focus a lot on dementia care and doing helping people to understand the disease, what's happening, and caregiving techniques that can help. But the goal there really is to help both the caregiver and the care recipient, because if a caregiver feels more competent and supported, then the hope is then they're going to be providing better care and have a better relationship with that person that they're caring for.
And when you're talking about dementia, that has a tendency at times to change a person's personality. And they may not be the person you remember, but you still want to care for them.
Right. Yes. And the disease itself, it causes people to behave differently, not necessarily because it's tweaking their personality, but because the brain isn't functioning at the same way that it did. And so it's just such a complex disease, and we really get into that a lot with the different dementia workshops that I do, because by understanding what's happening to the brain, then you can adjust your tactics and adjust how you're interacting with that person with the hope of avoiding some of those behavioral issues, or having somebody who is more more prone to yelling or getting argumentative with you. But definitely, you can have somebody who was always very sweet and thoughtful and kind, who now seems to be acting in a very kind of selfish way, and they're rude, and they're just saying things that aren't nice, and I don't understand why she's being like this. And if you can understand that it's a disease, then you can change your perspective on what's happening.
Some of their coping controls that they use throughout life are gone. It's coming out unfiltered.
Yes, it's all coming out very unfiltered. Absolutely, that's a good way to say it. And like I tell people, that front part of your brain is the last part of the brain to be developed, and that's the part, the executive functioning, and the part that is kind of the that controls the rest of it. That says, "Don't say that. That's mean. Don't do that. That'll get you in trouble." It's the last part of the brain to be developed in late 20s for some people, or even early 30s. It also controls impulse control and making good judgment calls. So people early in the disease, a lot of times even before they're diagnosed, are going to start having making some poor judgment calls. They're going to say things that come off as kind of rude. They're going to be more impulsive with things. So they're very at high risk for scams and for making really bad financial decisions for themselves. And a lot of times family won't even know anything is going on because they seem pretty normal for themselves, except for this little bit of, you know, gosh, she's kind of been a little more mean, or she seems a little bit less able to keep track of her finances and stuff, but overall she seems fine. So that's part of what I try to do, is to educate the community on what to look for, what those early warning signs are, but and how that relates to, you know, keeping them safe early on.
And sometimes as a caregiver, the progression of Alzheimer's is slow, and they don't notice it as so much as somebody who has been there 2 months ago and now is here and sees the big difference.
Absolutely, yep. And the other thing, too, is people, because the disease is so variable, there's these ups and downs in the ability of the person, that you can have someone who comes in for, you know, a family member who maybe comes in for an hour visit, 2 hour visit, and the person can, I hate to use the word cover because it seems like they're trying to hide something, but they can seem perfectly fine, and they can hold just a great normal conversation about, you know, the weather and just kind of this normal everyday social chit-chat that we all do. But if that family member were to stay for longer, maybe stay for a week, 2 weeks, and really see what's going on, they would start to see kind of those little holes in what's actually happening, that those bills aren't getting paid, and she doesn't seem to be going, following up with these appointments, or she doesn't even remember that she called and talked to my brother yesterday, and I didn't realize that, you know, things had gotten where they were. So I get a lot of calls around the holidays, you know, because families are coming back for a visit, and then they call me going, I had no idea it was like this.
And oftentimes one family member is charged with taking care of the person, and that can be friction in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you have people who have different opinions on what should happen. So a lot of family dynamics going on. And that's part of what I do, too, is working with families, trying to be kind of that non-biased outside person who can facilitate some family conversations. I do one-on-one work with caregivers. We also offer support groups in the community to connect other caregivers with each other. And I am excited we're finally able to get back into doing in-person support groups. We were offering them all online, which was great, and I'm glad that we were able to do that, to still connect with people. But now we're going to be able to get back to doing them in person, and we're also going to continue to do them online, because it's been a good tool to reach people who aren't able to get out of the home because they're in a really intensive caregiving situation. So to me, that's a good thing that came out of a bad situation, that we've learned that there's different ways to connect and provide services for people. So we do have a support group for caregivers that will be starting in Bad X at the Evangelife Church. And I will have more information on that June 16th as well. And we'll be getting that information out to the community as I get those dates and times more confirmed and nailed down.
It seems like such groups would be so helpful in having common problems and seeing just how bad it could be that others are facing, that maybe your situation isn't as dire as you felt it was because you see others in even worse condition.
Right. There's that, and then it's also just seeing that there's other people who are experiencing this and you're not feeling so alone in it anymore, and they get it. You know, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy, that I can talk to someone about what I'm going through and they can feel sorry or feel bad that I'm going through that. But if I connect with another person who is experiencing a very similar situation, they really understand me. They have an empathy, and they may have some good suggestions for what I could try or you know, oh, well, you're having issues with this. I did this, and that worked well for me. So they're great resources for each other. You know, but when you hear support group, and sometimes I think there's this negative feeling of, I don't know, that maybe you need help or something. And really, I try to think of it more as a caregiver connection, you know, that we're connecting people together to be there as a support for each other, and not so much as, I need help. But it's also okay to say, I need help. It's hard. It's hard caring for another person, especially, you know, you can feel ill-equipped for it. It becomes pretty intensive, and it wasn't something that you necessarily signed up for, but you find yourself in that situation now. And one way I've heard it is, you're already on the trip, and you didn't even realize that you were going on the trip, but you never even got a chance to pack your bags for it.
And I've said many times that, you know, just being able to say it out loud to someone else is like the first step in taking something that seems so overwhelming and bringing it back into a scale that you can start to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. And I find that a lot of people, they just need to be able to express what they're experiencing. They're not always looking for a solution. They just need somebody to say, I understand, and this is difficult, and these things that you're experiencing and what you're feeling is valid and normal, and what you're going through, it's hard, but you're going to get through this. You can get through this. And then providing different information and resources. So, you know, I try to bring different speakers in who can talk about legal issues when you think about long-term care planning. We talk about nutrition, keeping the caregiver themselves healthy and providing nutrition for the person that you're caring for. We have a pharmacist coming in next month who's going to talk about medication management and how nutrition and medication can interact with each other. We have lots of good information throughout the years. So we're really trying to get that information out there to the community, because I think so many people don't know, you know, that something like that exists. And even if you're not a support group kind of person, that doesn't, you know, you're more private, you just don't really want to interact with other people, call me and I can be there for a one-on-one and talk to you. I'm pretty friendly. I'm pretty easy to talk to. So I try to make it as less intimidating as possible.
And the thing with caregivers is that the situation they're in, whether it's Alzheimer's, a mental degeneration, or if it's a physical ailment that's degenerating, it's not a static situation. It's constantly changing, and usually not for the better.
Correct. You're absolutely right. And it's, I call it, it's kind of like the light switches on, the light switches off. because it's variable from moment to moment, day to day. You've got good days and bad days, and good days and bad days. But it's also on just this decline. It is a true dementia. And there's different diseases that cause dementia. Alzheimer's is the most well-known, but there's a lot of other diseases that can cause dementia. And they're all going to be, there's going to be a decline. And there is no cure for them. So part of providing care in a treatment is treating the caregiver and helping them to understand what to expect and what's happening, and giving them that support, because I think that's hard for our healthcare system to say, gosh, there's this disease and we don't have a medical treatment for that. We don't have, you know, take this and it'll make it better. There are medications that can help with some of the symptoms a little bit, but it's not a cure. It's hard for our caregivers out there who find themselves feeling like they're kind of on this roller coaster where you're just, I can't seem to get a handle on this because every time I think I understand it, it changes again, and then now I have to readjust and try to learn what's going on now. And then you got the emotional aspect of that where you're watching someone you love who's just deteriorating, and it's a hard, sad disease to watch your family go through.
And it may not be just one family member. You may have, you know, father and mother together.
Yes.
That are both declining, maybe at different rates, and you're mm-hmm. trying to support the person who is still a little better in their situation, who's watching a loved one slip from them.
Yes, absolutely. And I run into all different situations, spouses who are taking care of a husband or wife, children who are taking care of older, you know, parents. We've got siblings taking care of each other. Sometimes it's parents taking care of their child, or I've got grandparents taking care of grandchildren. And so there's all different types of caregiving situations that people can be in. And all of them are difficult in their own ways. And so, I don't want people, if they're hearing this, to say, oh, well, I'm caring for somebody, but they don't have dementia. Well, that doesn't mean don't come to the group or don't connect with me, because every type of caregiving has its own challenges, you know. And any time that you are taking over the responsibility of caring for another person, it's going to have challenges, and you're going to need to know those different resources, which, again, I'm going to plug the seminar, but that's another, you know, we're going to be talking about all of those different resources and those things to get that information out to people so that they know, you know, that we can help with personal care, and we can help with homemaking, we can help with respite care, we can get you meals delivered out to the house. You don't have to do it all yourself. You don't have to do it all alone. There is help out there.
And there is help not just from HDC, but other sources like the health department. And I know you try to coordinate, so you're not duplicating things, but being able to offer the most.
Right. Yep. We work with a lot of different community programs. We have great collaboration with them. We're on a lot of different committee meetings, just really good, you know. And I think the Thumb area, and maybe I'm a little biased, but I think the Thumb area does a fantastic job of staying aware of what's going on with other programs and other agencies. And something that I do through Human Development Commission is we have a Facebook Live that we do every Tuesday morning from 9:30 to 10, and I just bring different people on to talk about the programs that they have. We started that as a way to try to still reach out to people through this pandemic to say, hey, there's still things happening out here, even though it feels like it isn't. And it's just been really great for me, for one, because I'm learning so much more about the different things that are available, but also, you know, hopefully people are tuning in and hearing that and maybe learning a little bit about what's out there. So Yeah, we're definitely not just about promoting just Human Development Commission. We want, our goal is to make sure that people have access to all the different resources that are available, and because we want them to be happy and as happy and healthy and productive and as possible.
Now, you have the seminar. It's coming up a week from today at Evangel Life in Bad Axe. When you get there, is there going to be like a packet you give them with some information so they can take it home and review it after the seminar?
So they're going to get an a bag, which is a nice cloth. It's a very good bag. I think people are really, I keep harping on the bag because I really like it. It's just a really nice big bag. And then there will be pamphlets and different resources and information things in there for them to look through later on and read through. And then again, we'll be sharing through the radio about the different resources and different programs that are available to them, have the speaker, and then do the lunch and have the main giveaway at the end.
And with the pamphlets and the information, you're hoping that, you know, if they have a caregiver or if they're on their own and they're starting to find problems staying in their home and such, that they know what's out there, but the only way to get it is to ask for it. No one out there is psychic. You have to apply and seek it.
Exactly. And I tell people, even if you're not sure if you would qualify or if you just call, and we can give you information. We can let you know if you do qualify for something, and if you don't maybe necessarily qualify for that particular program, we'll try to do some looking in the community to see if there is a different program that might be able to help you with your particular issue. So, you know, if you're having something going on, just give us a call, and we will do what we can to help. But also, you know, even if you're not at that point yet, you can always call and just say, hey, I heard you talking on the radio, and I'm not there yet, but I'd love to know what is available. So if something changes in my life, I'm prepared, because it's always good to be prepared. Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and it's kind of good to know if something does happen, what's the number that I call.
And the HDC does a very comprehensive analysis of someone's needs when they try to sign up for a program, as I understand it.
Yes.
And that
we
means
have a pre-screen form that we have available.
It's not scary.
Really, so even if you're calling just for this one particular program, or if you're applying for one aspect, so say the weatherization program, they're still going to go through this pre-screen to say, you know, are you having any concerns or issues here? And then we can make those referrals accordingly. You know, and Human Development Commission provides multiple programs. I don't even think if put on the spot right now, I could rattle them all off. But, you know, we have Early Head Start, and we have the senior programs. We have home weatherization and different home repair issues. We do the homeless programs. We have the food commodities. We just, it's a lot. It's a lot of information right here. But then again, knowing the resources out in the community and working with them.
And some are dependent upon, you know, your income. But others are not. You don't
Correct.
Take it for granted that just because you're not destitute doesn't mean there aren't programs that can help you.
Absolutely. Yes, correct. And our senior programs are not income-based. So the distribution as far as the food commodity program where you come to get a box of food, there are income limitations on that. But for the home-delivered meal program or to be part of the caregiver programs, to be signed up for lighthouse cleaning or respite care or anything like that, you do not have to meet an income criteria to have access. You need to be 60 years of age or older, and there needs to be a need for that service, meaning I'm not able to do this for myself anymore, or cognitively, I'm not able to do this for myself anymore. So those are really the only two things that we're looking for as far as how to qualify. Now, there may be a waiting list and then we're going to prioritize that waiting list based on the assessment that gets done. So the people with the highest level of need will go to the top of that waiting list. But people do not qualify for those senior programs based on income.
And a lot of times the prioritization is because funds are limited in that area. You get a grant, you know, you just can't take money from pile A and put it into pile B. They have to be accounted for the purpose that they were given.
Right. So, you know, and Human Development Commission has funding from a whole lot of different sources. And we would have to talk to the directors for all of that particular information. But, you know, for the senior programs, we get funding through Region 7, which is the Area Agency on Aging. But we also have local millage funds that we use to help supplement what we get from that state money. And then it's also federal funds. But then we also get donations where people can donate to the meal program, donate to the homemaking and personal care programs. So those donations are always really helpful as well to keep and help us to be able to keep those programs running. When you think of just the home-delivered meals alone, we cover all of Huron County, all of Santa Lake County, and all of Tuscola County. And we're putting out, I'm going to estimate on this, but probably 200 to 300 meals each day. It's a lot of meals that are going out across those three counties, and it takes a lot to produce those. And the funding can only get you so far.
And I think one of the things that a lot of people, you know, is, you know, they've lived all their life without assistance. I don't want to start now, but throughout their life, their tax dollars helped to pay for people to be assisted who needed it. Now, if you need it, take it.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And I find that that is some of it where people will say, well, I only want this, you know, but give it to somebody else who might need it more. And I always tell them, you're here. You need this service now, and you're not taking this out of the hands of anybody else. You know, that's part of our job is to make sure that those people who need the service are getting the service. And that's why we do these comprehensive assessments and make sure that we are using those funds appropriately, the way that they've been designated to be used, but we want people to use them and call in. You don't have to do it alone. You can reach out, and I like that you said that, you know, you did pay into these services over the years through your taxes, and kind of think of it like a savings, right? You paid into those programs, and now it's your time that you need to take a little bit out of that.
Like Social Security.
Right, like Social Security. You paid into it, and now you need it, and that's why it's there.
And a lot of these programs, the funding is based on the need they see. If you don't take it, you know, you might have to send the funds back, and you get less the next time, yet there's still the need out there. So don't feel that you're taking it from someone
definitely
else.
Definitely, we want to use the funds that we're given, and absolutely, if it looks like we don't need or there isn't a need in a particular area, then there is a fear or a concern that maybe that funding will get reduced going forward, and that's the last thing we want to see happen. So we do want people to be utilizing the different programs that are out there. Our congregate meal sites, right now they've been doing curbside pickup, but hopefully they're going to get into where they can start meeting in person again as well. I don't have updates on that just yet, but
we'll hear from the senior center on when they're going to do that, because they want to get that word out. They've been waiting for that for a long time.
Oh, I'm sure, and I'm sure that as soon as we're able to start doing that, there will be lots of information coming out there to the community to let everyone know that those are opening back up again. And I know everybody's really excited, and we are too. We're ready as well on our end to get back to things being how they were pre-pandemic. I don't know if things will ever be the way they were pre-pandemic, but hopefully at least get back to some semblance of what we considered normal.
And sometimes just losing it for a time makes you appreciate it all the more in the future. It wasn't just a given.
You're right. Yep. I felt that way a lot myself, thinking, gosh, I took just going to a restaurant for granted, you know, just going out and having a meal out and seeing other people. You know, you kind of took all those things for granted. And so I really do hope that, you know, as people start venturing back out and as things start opening up again, that people will come out and take advantage of all those great programs that we have for them. The being able to gather together, we're social people, so it's important for us to connect with each other.
And the older generation is more social because they aren't all online with their thumbs getting texted and all this stuff. They like it in person.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I think that we've got different generations of seniors, you know, so we do have some very tech-savvy seniors out there who just really embrace the technology. But then we have our other seniors who say, no, I'm not interested in that. I like my face-to-face stuff. And so we really want to make sure that we're meeting, you know, utilizing all the new technology for people, but also being available for that in-person meeting with people as well, because that's important. And I go both. I can do both. I like my technology, but I'm also, when I really need an answer to something, I want to hear your voice on the other end. I don't want an email or a text message. I want to have that conversation. So I can appreciate that need for the connection.
We're getting close to the end of our time. I want to recap the seminar. It's coming up next week, the 16th.
Yes.
And it's going to be at Evangel Life near Bad Axe on the west side of town, going out M53. It's 2 hours, 11 until 1 p.m. that day, and there's going to be a lunch, and you need to have them register by the end of business day today in order to get on the list, so they will have a lunch. And there's going to be some prizes. There's going to be a lot of good information to pass along. You're going to get that goodie bag as you come into the parking lot. You tune your radio to the special frequency you're going to have to get them in on the program and hopefully get some very good information out to the senior population.
Yes.
Well, and we're going to give them that number again. We told them we were going to give it again at the end in case they needed to get a pencil. The number is 1-800-843-6394. 800-843-6394. And again, you have to do it today if you want to go to the Bad Axe program. You're having others in Caro and Sandusky, I believe, or Sanilac and Tuscola County. So if they wanted to drive all that way, they might be able to because they're still in your coverage area. But this would be the closest and most convenient for Huron County residents.
But they can register for the other two if they want to.
If it's a better day for them the next Wednesday.
Right. Yep.
Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Glad to get a chance to talk with you. You're the Human Development Commission Caregiver Manager, Susie Arthur. You can check with her at the HDC offices in Caro if you have any questions on caregivers and some of the programs she has talked about today. Thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW.